I shared with you earlier that this past week, Brother Jason Schofield's father, Joe, passed away. He was 70 years old, and he's been struggling with cancer for over a year. And I've talked with Jason a lot over the last several months. As he watched the gradual progression of cancer and the decline of his dad's health. And last Wednesday, got a text from Jason that said, heading to Marietta. A little bit later, we got an update. It said his breathing is getting shallow and he's leaving us. Then at 2:41 Wednesday afternoon, I got a text from Jason that simply said two words. He's gone. I know how hard that is, because I've been there. And Jason and I talked a lot because my dad was only 70 when he passed away. And I remember sitting at hospice. And while hospice is a wonderful entity, it's a sad place. And my dad was in the last hours of his life. And we were all just, you just sit there, waiting. And down the hall, just a couple rooms, I started hearing a group of people singing Amazing Grace. I remember getting up and walking down and looking. It was just a family that had surrounded the bedside of a loved one singing. And I just remember thinking, I hope my dad can hear this. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we just began. But then I realized that, you know, that helped me more than it probably helped my dad. I share those thoughts with you today, not because, again, I'm finding myself, my lessons are kind of sad today. I didn't mean for that to be the case, but Jason's been, and his family's been heavy on my heart this week. And I'm not here tonight, today, to talk to you about getting your life right so that, you know, in the end, you're going to heaven. I mean, we all know that. We all know that's the goal. What I want to ask you to consider today is, what am I leaving behind? And I've entitled the lesson, When Tomorrow Starts Without Me. And one of my favorite passages of Scripture is Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. Solomon wrote these words. He said, "Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all." We're all in a different place. None of our life stories are exactly the same. As I stand before you all these years later, my preaching isn't the same as it was when I was young, when I was raising kids, and all those things of life and business and busyness was what was always on my mind. I'm 62 years old now. And I don't know how much time I have left. My dad died at 70. I hope I have more time, because there's so much I want to do with my kids and with my grandkids. But my thoughts have changed today, and I look at life a little differently today than I did when I was your age. Those of you that are younger here. But I want to tell you one thing that I really am happy about at the church here. In years gone by, I remember those. They're not with us anymore, are they? Some have stepped into eternity. But I see these young guys, Nick, Roger, Brad, I've not met you, but I just heard your comments, Mike. And I know this church is in good hands down the road. It'll continue on. And I encourage you men to make that happen. But never forget the Brother Lambs, the Brother Blackabees, and others that made this church what it is. You see, when we're born, our lives are simply a blank page waiting for the message of our life. And this past week, I've been reminded of how quickly it goes by. We were talking this week, and I really don't remember the last time I was here with you. But I know our kids were just little, like these little girls back here. So that's close to 30 years ago. I've seen you at gospel meetings, and we've talked, and I've never forgotten you. But where did that time go? So I want to share this with you. It's entitled, Living a Life That Matters. The writer said this, ready or not, someday it all comes to an end. There'll be no more sunrises, no minutes, hours, or days, and all the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, your fame, your temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or what you rode. Your grudges, resentments, frustrations, and jealousies will finally disappear. So too, your hopes, your ambitions, your plans, and to-do lists will expire. I'm going to ask my wife to remember that. All those lists she makes will expire. She thinks they already have for me. It won't matter whether you're beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to be like you. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people knew you, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who loved you. What will matter is how long you'll be remembered, by whom and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of choice. Have you ever thought about when you're gone, what you leave behind? How will your children feel about you? How will your friends, those you work with, your family, remember you? I was blessed. I was raised in a wonderful family. I'm so thankful God put me in the home He did. I still have my mom. She's 90. She'll be 91 years old this month. But I tell you, all of my memories are good. I was truly blessed. One of the elders I served with, you know him, George Wax. I love that guy. But George grew up far differently than I did. He grew up in an abusive home, a home where there was no faith. And George tells a story at the age 16, after getting beat up by his dad, he walked out and never went back. George met Cheryl, started coming to church. They were married. They had their first child, and George will tell this. He says, I remember watching an older couple, and I forget their names, at church one day walking up the aisle, and this elderly couple walked up together holding hands. And he said, I wanted that. And I tell you, George obeyed the gospel, and he never looked back. Today, he's an elder in the church. But I remember at my father's funeral, hundreds of people coming through. George and I were talking about this just the other day, and he told me at his father's funeral, other than a few family members, two people showed up. Living a life that matters is important. I look back, and my heart is full of memories, good memories. George looks back, and his heart is full of pain. So what I challenge you to do today is just consider a couple scriptures with me. Solomon wrote a lot about this. Ecclesiastes 2, he said this, and I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. You know, we'll remember each other because we lived our lives together. We worshiped together. We loved God together. And when we pass, our kids will miss us. But if you go down the next generation or so, will be forgotten. I was had an appointment with a client at his home out towards Xenia, and I was early. So as I was driving, I guess we probably can't see this very well, but it's the gates to an old cemetery out by where he lived. And there was a little parking lot across the street, so I needed to kill some time. So I thought, I'm just going to walk over. It looked like an old cemetery, and it was. So I walked into that cemetery, and as I walked around, I just started looking, and people buried there had been buried there since the early 1800s. And you could tell as you walked around, nobody ever goes there. Someone mows the grass now and then. Grave markers were broken. Some were so weathered that you couldn't read them anymore. This person passed away. She was 10 years old. She was born in 1812, died 10 years later. Some, they didn't know where the markers went, so they leaned them against a tree. And I thought to myself, how sad that is, that after all these generations, no one ever goes there to remember. Solomon was right. We'll be forgotten. But that won't happen right away. So those that remember us, what will they remember? Solomon also wrote, Ecclesiastes 2, I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. My dad wasn't a wealthy man. And I don't care. It's not about stuff. It was about who he was. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 7, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind. And the living will lay it to heart. What does that mean? The living will lay it to heart. We've all done that. We've all gathered at the house of mourning to remember that person. And our hearts ache. And all the things about that person, good or bad, come into our hearts. And they're remembered. And it's my hope for you that those memories are good. But realistically, some will not have those good memories. What I would encourage you to do, we don't talk about this much, do we? Isn't it sad that all the nice things we want to say about somebody, we say it at the funeral home as we're standing there looking at their body? Wouldn't it be better if we said it to them while they were living? The other day, I was looking in my office through some planning documents that I have. And I found a letter that I had written years ago to my mom and dad. The occasion was Yvonne and I were going out of country, and my mom and dad had come to stay with our five small children. And I wrote this letter, giving them all the details. If something were to happen, where accounts were, where things were that they would need to know about my businesses and different things that they would need to be aware of. And I remember starting that letter saying, I suppose if you're reading this letter, something happened that none of us planned on. And then at the end, I told them things that I'd like them to share with my kids. And I read that letter and I just cried. Part of it was because I hadn't shared those things with my kids all these years later. And I thought to myself, why not? Why is it we don't tell people our hopes for them, our kids, those we love, how much they've meant in our lives to us until we've gone and we just hope that they feel that? I would encourage you to realize that there's things in life we ought to do right now. Jesus was hanging on the cross in John 19. He was dying. He looked down. He saw his mom. And he said to John, in essence, take care of my mom. And he said to his mom, let him take care of you. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold. Our Savior knew. He was a man. He was dying on that cross as a man. And he was hurting. He was leaving his mom. But he said, take care of her. Make those plans, folks. Say those things that you need to say. Paul was about to die, and he wrote to the prodigy, his prodigy, young Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, he said, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who love his appearing. Later in that chapter, in verse 18, he said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Last Wednesday, Jason had written to me, and I wrote him back. And I said, Jason, your dad has lived his whole life for this moment. And when that door opens and he steps into eternity, he will experience the greatest experience of his life. And that's how we need to view. We're not going to die. We're going to walk through another door. That's what eternal life is all about. But as we walk through that door, don't look back and say, I wish I would have. Do what you need to do today. I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to write a letter to that person or persons that's most special in your life. And write that letter as if it were the letter you'd want them to read when you're gone. Can you think of things you'd say? Write that letter, but then go ahead and give it to them. Don't wait. Don't have them read it after you're gone. Give it to them so they know how you feel right now. You know, I shared a poem that my dad sent to me. I'm going to share one more. It was kind of in this grouping of poems he sent me. And again, it's a sad poem, but again, I cherish it because my dad sent it to me. And the title of the poem is When Tomorrow Starts Without Me. It says, when tomorrow starts without me and I'm not here to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes all filled with tears for me, I wish you wouldn't cry the way you cried today while thinking of many things we did not get to say. I know how much you love me, as much as I love you. Each time that you think of me, I know you will miss me too. When tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand. The angel said my place was ready in heaven far above and that I would have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home. When God looked down and smiled at me from his golden throne, he said, this is eternity. And all I promised you today for life on earth is done, but here it starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, for today will always last. And since each day is the exact same way, there's no longing for the past. So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think that we're apart. For every time, for every time you think of me, remember, I'm right here in your heart. That's where my dad is. That's where I know some that you've lost are. Let's make it our goal to be the kind of people that those we know never forget for good reasons. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. I hope you'll keep the Schofield family in your prayers. Lift them up this week. And thank you for letting me share this lesson because it was kind of therapy for me. But it's been wonderful to be with you. And if you're here today and you are not a Christian, your tomorrow doesn't look too good. For tomorrow could start without you and you being in a place that you certainly don't want to be. So if you're not a Christian today, I would encourage you to take care of that right now. Because one of the greatest pains for people in life that I've talked with are when family members step into eternity and they didn't know God. Because then you know it's the end. Don't let that be your fate. Give your life to him. To the rest of us that are Christians, continue on making good memories for people to remember us by because of our faith. So if we can help you this afternoon as we close, come now as we stand and sing.